and intercession. But I want to continue on that. Revelations 19, 9 to 10. If you have your Bibles here, please follow with me. And before I start, I maybe should just mention this. One of the things that me and my wife love doing is actually go to the movies. That's, for us, the greatest treat. So, as a couple. So, yeah, in the UK, it's a little bit more expensive. So, you must pace yourself. And thanks to the girls here in the church, at least my wife can go. But so, sometimes we go. But the problem that we have is that when we go to the movies together, my wife, from the first second that that movie starts, asks me questions. I don't know if the other men here in the church experience the same, but my wife would ask me, so why did he do that? And I say, no, I don't know. And especially with these movies these days, you know, it's bits and pieces of the same puzzle, but you'd never know until the end. Yeah, right at the end, you see everything come together, and then all the puzzle pieces fits together. But until that moment, we have this amazing discussion in the movies that sometimes irritates people around us as well about how it's happening. And this morning, I want to talk about prophecy. I want to talk about the fact that we hear sometimes glimpses and pieces of what God is busy establishing in our lives. But we don't know the end result yet. God is on a journey with us, and He gives us some information as we go along to inspire us to do amazing things in our lives. And I'm so glad we sang it this morning, because God loves us. And His main purpose for prophecy is for us actually to come closer to His heart, to understand Him better. And so I want to just go through a few scriptures this morning and trust that God is going to help you to see more happening, as we saw this morning as well. People bring words, and even in the small groups and wherever we go, that we will really be a prophetic church hearing God's voice. Revelations 19, 9 to 10. And the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. By the way, afterwards we're going to pray for one another. So don't run. Even though it's hot, we're going to pray for one another. Don't be afraid. I'm going to help you and guide you through this. Supper of the Lamb. Be back to Scripture. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. Then I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, you must not do that. I'm a fellow servant with you, and your brothers who hold the testimony of Jesus worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, talking about prophecy this morning, I want to make it very clear that a relationship with Jesus is the essence of the spirit of prophecy. To have an understanding, to hear God's voice, and we're going to talk about what is prophecy just now, so relax if you don't. Joel 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. What is prophecy? Prophecy is the proclamation of the will of God, both present and future. Through the Bible, the prophet was always primarily God's spokesperson. And then biblical prophecy tells us the future and gives us strength and steadiness and confidence in the midst of troubling circumstances, and help us rest in the knowledge of life and history's happy ending. So, why do we have prophecy? As we hear certain things that God reveals to us, and as I said, in part, actually, it's not as much to direct to our lives, but to bring us to an understanding that God is with us. And as we move into circumstances, and we see how God's prophecies unfold in our lives and through our lives, we have the confidence that God is leading us. Okay? We cannot create a move of God. Are you with me this morning? We cannot create the presence of God. Are you fine with that this morning? I know that in the church we often try that. We often try to, you know, be hype and, you know, we dance and we do all kinds of stuff for the Lord and we think that He is in that, in the excitement of, you know, whatever the church is doing, in being on the trend and doing trendy stuff. But God's presence cannot be fabricated. God is authentic and He speaks to His people in such a way that we have a witness in our hearts when He starts to speak. And this morning it was so blessed for me, you know, to see how naturally, you know, Sunday after Sunday we hear words coming to the front, people, you know, sharing words, and then it's confirmed through the Word of God, through the sermon. But there's a place in which we witness in our hearts what God is saying to us, and we find the boldness and the understanding of what God is doing through prophecy. Now, somebody once said, I read the last chapter of the Bible, and all that I know is that we win. And I want to say to you, one thing that I do know about prophecy is we don't always understand it, but the end result is amazing. Because when you get to that place where it starts to unfold, you see the blessings of God unfold in your life. Now, how did the prophecy in the Bible work? Moses saw God through the physical eye. He actually had the privilege of seeing in the burning bush God speaking to him. I don't know how many of you have seen burning bushes the last week. Any of you? Maybe you should come and testify then. Yeah, it was quite warm, I must say. But guys, it does not happen often, but in the Old Testament we see many times how God reveals Himself. Now, I'm so blessed to hear so many testimonies. Me and Hanku was at the bank the other day. We met a guy called Vish, and Vish said that, you know, he's Indian. He comes from Africa, actually from, I think, Ghana, he said. And he said he had an intervention from God, a moment where God started to speak to him and led him into the gospel. Now, some of us had the privilege to experience such a moment. Then also vision. Daniel received visions. Often, you know, we hear about people seeing visions from God and being so blessed to get revelation thereof. Metaphorical seeing. John, that wrote Revelations, saw certain pictures that God revealed to him. And in that way, it was the spirit of prophecy upon his life that he could write down, and we can have revelations today. And then supernatural insight. Now, why do we do that? And I want to quickly just read Deuteronomy, and it's a long piece of scripture, so bear with me. Because God actually had a purpose with his prophets. And I want to read chapter 18, verse 9, to show you that. When you come into the land, sorry for those who have Bibles, please turn there. Joseph, I love you. You are a man after my heart, having your Bible here. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9 to 22. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or his daughter as an offering. And this was for real. Little children, especially babies, were burned and offered to idols and to other gods. Anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or interprets omens or sorcerer or a charmer or a medium or is it a necromancer? I'm not sure. Or one who inquires of the dead. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations to the Lord, your God is driving them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For these nations, which are you're about to dispossess, listen to the fortune tellers. No, I'm missing it now. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For these nations, which you are about to dispossess, listen to fortune tellers and to diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has to allow you to do this. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God or see this great fire anymore, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, are you guys still with me? This is Old Testament, but it's a great. They are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name and I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how may we know the word that the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. So it's quite easy. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need to be afraid of him. Now, so God actually created a counterpart for these nations and these abominations in the fact that he had prophets that represented him. Now, the priests represented the people before God. And the prophets represented God to the people. And so the prophets would hear from God, and then especially in severe words where famine would come or natural disasters or even any caution to the people of God, the prophets will speak. And they will be tested, and some of them even hanged if there's not a result to their prophesying. So it was not an easy word, and it was not an easy task to be a prophet. So don't take this lightly. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 to 5. We're moving to the New Testament, and I just want to say that, do we prophesy in the church? Is it the norm? Is it what is expected of us? Let's read a few scriptures. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 to 5. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but the utters mysteries in the spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues. This is Paul saying this. But even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. So there's practices that Paul understood to be the norm and quite natural within the New Testament church. And those were to prophesy, to speak in tongues, and to get the interpretation thereof. And he says, within the greater community, it's so important to understand the context of this, because this is to edify the church, to build it up, and so that we as the church can experience the blessing of God's truth. So that we can have the confidence that God is among us. That as God reveals these things to us, we can have the confidence that we are on his road, his path, his will. Listen to Ephesians 2 verse 20. Build on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. So, The Apostle Paul made it very clear that the doctrine of the apostles, now we know that God entrusted unto the apostles the truth and the doctrine of the church as it was at that time and for us today to learn from, because he even gave them opportunities to make decisions on behalf of the church that we still use in practice today. Okay, like the circumcision, and I think many of the guys here will be very glad to hear that that's not in practice today anymore. Okay. Ephesians 3 verse 5. Okay, some are not catching this, but praise God. Ephesians 3 verse 5. Which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, and is now being revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Ephesians 4 verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. So there's actually a certain office of the prophet for being set apart specially for regular ongoing ministry of prophecy in the time of the New Testament church. And this was quite an important function within the church in those days, because if I read it correctly in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 28, and I don't want to make a doctrine of it, but it's it is quite clear, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets. So after the apostles, it was very important that prophets were recognized in the church. That within the church, God said, listen, make sure to listen to the people that hear my voice and reveal it to you. And that practice it and grow in it and actually experience the blessing thereof. 1 Corinthians 12. Oh, I did read verse 28, but let's just finish it. Second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. So it's used within the church, but also as we know it today in small groups, where we trust God to actually interpret tongues, to interpret prophecy, and to live by it, and to allow God to actually transform our lives by hearing his word. 1 Corinthians 14:30. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let it first be silent. So Paul even made some very strong rules about how it should be implemented within the church. Why? Because it was the custom at the time. Because they clearly had some problems in the way in which people were administrating it in the different churches all over. And it became chaos. And Paul said, listen, let's just get order in the church here. It's amazing when prophecy happens. It's amazing when speaking in tongues is happening. And when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is happening. But you know what? It must be to the benefit of all. If each individual gets a holy moly, kapoli, voli, roly moment, we're missing the point. Because God is collectively revealing himself to the church. And yes, we are selfish human beings. I'm including myself in that. I want to have those goosebump moments when I worship here in front and I can shout the name of Jesus and I can... But you know what's amazing? Is if God does it collectively. The fact that God can reveal himself to us, and what happened this morning, people can actually bring a word and say, listen, is that for anyone here? Because I know it's not for me. And it's not for my purposes. It's not for my direction. But I know that God is speaking to some of you. The blessing thereof is that God reveals himself collectively to all of us in such a way that the spirit of prophecy is a blessing to all within the church of God. And so, my question would be to you this morning, did you come with an expectation to church to already have a word in your heart? And I've said it a few times before, but you should actually know what I'm going to preach about. Or, if I don't hear from God, maybe you're right and I'm wrong. Are you with me this morning? Woo! I know it's hot. Woo! Thanks, Patrick. Patrick is at least awake. Coming to church means that you must already ask God, what are you saying to your church? speak to me because I want to actually come with a word in season. That's why we do intercessions in the morning. You know why? Because I need to hear from God. It's such a blessing to hear when God confirms to other people that the word that we are bringing is actually, spot on. There's nothing as encouraging. Ask Sophisa that preached last Sunday, and all the words was already in the morning revealed to him. It's so blessed because then you know God is with us. So many times it's not even adjusting your life to those prophecies, but when you get into the circumstances, you know, God is with me. Are you with me this morning? Okay. So, my question is, did you this morning receive a word while worshiping? And I'm just challenging you because I'm challenging myself. The reason why I'm saying that is Paul says, listen, if you come with an expectation, with a word and a prophecy and a song in your heart, so that you can bless the rest of the body. You know, but I know how it goes. I'm still thinking about, oh God, this week I must do still the announcements and God, I must get to this person and this person while now worshiping. Okay, I'm at least waving my hand. Okay, it's only the pastor that's sinning, so relax, don't. And then I think, okay, did my wife come in time for church this morning? Because when I left, you know, it was putting all the pressure on her. And so I'm worshiping. Okay, it's only the pastor that does this, so relax. Worship can become just an empty tradition. Worship is not a song. It's connecting to the heartbeat of God. It's getting to the revelation of what God wants to reveal to His sons and daughters. You know, I just want to, you know, yesterday we had the Bible school reflections, and it was so great, Mariette. She said, but you know what? This apologetic thing, you know, I didn't even know about the word beforehand, you know, so I don't like apologetics at all, but my husband, you know, he's quite anointed in this thing. I said, but Mariette, actually, you know, I must be honest with you, you know, the two of us are probably on the same boat, so we'll have to get your husband to grow in his anointing so that he can do the apologetics in the church. You know what apologetics is? I'm seeing some of you get this home screen on. It's defending your faith, okay? It's defending Christianity, against other religions. And the blessing of it is, guys, is to have the conversation with her. Listen, you are actually defending by standing. That you're in a community where when your kids are not behaving in a godly manner, you can talk to them, and other people are confronted by the example that you're setting. By the discussions that we have in the workplace when it's ungodly. Just say, guys, yes, I know that swearing is, but you know, I want to actually confess that I'm a Christian. I don't do things like that because it's just not godlike. And I'm not condemning you, but you know what? I want to have a lifestyle where I can please the King of Kings. Just by living life, you are an apologist. And I want to say to you this morning, we make certain prophetic statements as we live. In our homes, in the communities that we are living. And we can actually start to be the salt and the light in living a life of prophecy. Now, we did the outreaches, and it was one evening for me, so beautiful. Now, for those of you that don't know, there's these queues of people, literally in the mornings, I think thousands, probably 2,000 or more, people standing in the queues. But at night, there's about, I would say, 1,500 guys with tents in the queues going to Wimbledon tennis. Okay, and then in these queues, we would go and just serve the people, give them handouts of soft drinks and chocolates and whatever. And as we do so, we have conversations with them and just say to them, Jesus loves you. You know, be blessed. We don't want to even, you know, enforce ourselves upon you. We just want you to experience the love of Jesus. Please have a Coke. Coca-Cola. Coke is not a good word in this country. So, in doing so, we walked past this one tent and these two guys were quarreling. And we could see, okay, there's conflict going, yeah, okay, it's going to get wild. And the next moment, this older lady that was with me on Thursday night just bowed down and she took out a flapjack and she gave it to each one of them. She said, "May God really bless you today." They looked at her in the midst of this quarrel, in the midst of this conflict. And I could see both of them just turning back into their tents and there was just quietness. And I thought to myself, this is the witness of Christ. You know, that in the midst of just being there, you know, God can do something so beautiful. Now, there's four things that God does through prophecy in us. And the first one is God reveals his heart to us. Now, this is the most important part. And this is what I love about this morning. Is prophecy is to get onto the same page than God the Father. As he reveals his heart to us, we start to share the compassion and passion that Jesus has for people around us. And I want to remind you that in the midst of the times when Jesus lived, people that the tax collectors, for instance, were the outcast of society. They were the people that, according to the highest bidder toward the Roman Empire, would have certain geographical areas that they then collected tax for to give to the Roman occupation in Israel, so that the Romans can grow stronger as a ideology. And so in the midst of this, these tax collectors are not very famous people in Israel because they are the very same people that are oppressing Israel as a nation and withholding their independence. Now in the midst of this, Jesus bows down to these tax collectors and he says to them, "Listen, I love you. I want you to walk the road with me." In the midst of this outcast living in a society where everyone is against them, Jesus would bow down, get into their worlds, and be the spirit of prophecy. The one that goes against the stream and show the love of the Father to them. I want to say to you this morning, the greatest privilege that we have while prophesying and responsibility is the fact that we are representing the Father heart of God. That whenever we speak prophecy, we have the opportunity and the responsibility to portray Father God's heart. If we miss this one, we've missed 90%. Of what God wants to do through prophecy. Because God's heart is for his people to touch people's lives and to bring healing in their lives through revealing his heart's desires to them. This is about relationship. We're not accepting the spirit of prophecy in the church so that, you know, we can have amazing prophets with titles that can, you know, hear God accurately and can... It's so that we can hear God better. We must actually be so excited when certain people start to flourish in the prophetic, because then we can hear the heartbeat of God more, as long as they stay put to the message of Christ. And so, Jesus was moved by compassion as he He connected with the people. Then the second one is, you are the fulfillment of prophecy. If God says it will happen, He will not lie. The beautiful moment was in Peter's life when Christ says to him, "Who do you say I am?" Can we just have a conversation about this? And then Peter says, "Well, you are Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus says, "Praise God. Peter, of all the things that I have done in your life, this is the wow moment. This is the moment of prophecy in your life. Because Peter, I will not build myself on you." And many denominations even think that that is what Jesus said, building upon Peter as the rock. It was not about Peter, it was about the rock, the revelation, the truth that Peter was representing at the time. "Peter, the revelation that you are now holding before me is what I wanted you to understand all along. The fact that the wow moment here is that you are recognizing that I am the Son of God. The fact that you are recognizing that I am in your midst and that I am busy portraying and fulfilling the spirit of prophecy in the times that we are living. Are you with me?" So I want to say to you that secondly, you are fulfillment of prophecy means that you and I, as we live life to the full and we are busy starting to hear God's voice and we are doing as God is pleased for us to do, we start to see communities being changed because we are on His will. We are doing the things that's on His heart. And we become the prophecy that God wants to be revealed on this earth. Now, thirdly, availability of the Word of God. And I just want to say to you, we can treasure the Word of God so much. The fact that guys like Tyndall and many others, you know, have gone through such lengths to even translate the Bible. And I always say that when it gets to the spirit of prophecy, you and I must understand that the Bible is the starting block. Which means that if you and I don't know what to prophesy, and we even don't hear God's voice, the best way to hear God's voice is to just read His Word. Because it's on paper what He already has spoken. And if we pray together, we must always have our Bibles with us, electronically or in... it's better if you have your real Bible, Joseph, but... whatever kind of Bible, so that we can actually just read and proclaim God's Word and truth. The availability of the Word. Reading the Word now makes room for confirmation of what would later happen. Then fourthly, God is still moving. In the Old Testament, Israel only moved where the cloud moved. But we need to move only where Christ is leading us to go. And I hear in the church today, and I want to just say to you guys, it's really for me a concern. The books that I'm seeing, that we as Christians reading, there's so many principles and methods in methodology that we as the church are living by today that I don't even know. It becomes so difficult to be a Christian these days. I don't even know as a pastor if I can keep up with all the principles that we are putting in books these days. About 20 steps to get to your calling and 150 ways to read the Bible. And it's becoming so difficult. I'm really struggling to see God in all of this. And then you must really struggle hard to read through all of that and find one scripture. Because it's just motivational speaking all the time. And I want to say to you guys, be careful. In the times that we are living, that the Word of God does not become secondary to the priority of where you receive your prophecy. Because it's the starting block. It's a place where you and I must read to God. And as we read the Word of God, I in the mornings read the Word of God, and you know what? Many times it doesn't even make sense, and I'm not really up to it. It's only the pastor again, so relax, don't feel condemned. You know, I listen to it, and then you know what's so amazing? That later on in the day, the Holy Spirit reminds me of certain things that I've read, because the spirit of prophecy is operating through the Word of God. Because when we read the Word of God, the truth of God gets established in our lives. Please read the Word of God. Then God is still moving. Don't expect to hear God's plans for the future if you can't hear God's plans for now. Actively involved to experience God's plans. Truth adds to truth. Move, take charge and lead. Don't expect new truth. It's already there. And start with what you can do. Start to be obedient to the things that God has already revealed to you. And God will reveal to you step by step more as He takes you to the next level. I'm ending off this morning. So, before we pray for one another, how do we evaluate if the prophetic is true? Now, there's three things that I must mention this morning. The one is that you look at the motivation and intentions of the prophecy. And certainly, I will not receive words when a person is in financial problems and they start to prophesy over me that God is saying that I must give all that I have to them. Okay, that's not wise at all. Do you agree with me, Chrissy? You're frowning. Okay, so if the motive is not right when prophesying, surely we can't receive that prophecy. Okay? Also, we don't teach one another through prophecy, which means that when we pray, we're not busy preaching on principles and, you know, trying to teach the others, you know, in the group about biblical principles. I've heard this so many times when you stand in an intercession group and everyone is praying, but you can hear that this person is now, you know, concerned about a certain thing in church that is bothering them now for weeks, and now they are prophesying, okay? And they, you can hear it so out of the flesh because, you know, they just need to make a correction now, and this is the only platform that they can. Please don't do that, okay? Because the motivation is not right. Secondly, the continuity of the prophetic patterns. Are they spot on every time around over a period of time and not just a fluke? And I want to just say to you guys, please, please make mistakes when prophesying, because that is how you grow. We need to learn out of the mistakes that we are making. But if certain patterns in our lives are not accurate, we must have a conversation about it so that you can grow, so that you can come to a place where God's prophecy can flow through your life. And so, number three is the content of the prophecy. It must stay within the boundaries of the Word. Prophecy is a gift of God, not given to enable us to predict the future, but to point us right back to Christ. And, you know, I just love praying into circumstances, because I'm stupid and God is amazing. And I don't have revelation, but God does. And I cannot go about in my day and my journey every day if I don't get revelation from Him to lead and guide me, to hear His heart, because I am so selfish as well. That's the other problem that I have, the pastor. I'm so selfish, I always just want to pray about my own things. But then the Holy Spirit, through the word of prophecy, reminds me that when prophecy is released in my life, and a prophetic act, and me becoming a prophetic act to God, it means that people around me get blessed. Okay. Ooh, are you still with me? Just shake the person next to you and say, it's hot in here, but you'll survive. Because this is good stuff. You must listen now. Guys, you know what? We need to come to the understanding of God's heart for people. We need to align ourselves to His directives. Test of prophecy. And I'm really ending off. You can stand now. And we're going to... we're going to pray for one another this morning. Two tests of prophecy. The one is by other prophets present, which means that we allow other people that can also hear from God to test the words that we bring. Okay? That's very important. Because that in that council, we allow God to speak to us collectively. 1 Corinthians 14, 32-33. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29 then. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh what he has said. And then secondly, about the test of prophecy, is by the teaching of the apostles, the full word of God, we must stick to the word of God. Or was it from you that, 1 Corinthians 14:36 then, or was it from you that the word of God came, or are you the only one it has reached? If anyone thinks that he is a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things I'm writing to you are a command of the Lord. If anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. Okay. This morning, I want to trust that they're beginning to pray for one another. Okay. I'm not the prophet in the house. All of us have the ability to prophesy. All of us have the ability to prophesy the oracles of God. And even if you're a visitor here this morning, relax, please. We're going to pray with you. It's just a moment of consecration, a moment where we can pray with God. And we'll pray with you, so relax. Don't feel too intimidated. But this morning, what I want us to do is just pray for one another and trust God for a prophetic word. So if you're a husband and wife, don't just the two of you pray together. Have a third person praying with you, because you will always agree. You guys don't ever disagree, eh? Malcolm, you've learned to be wise. A wise man. Just stay quiet. Now, just include somebody, a third person, then into your lives now. And let's pray this morning for one another. And just trust that God will speak to us concerning one another. Because God will. It says in James 4:8 that if we draw closer to God, He will draw closer to us. He has a desire to reveal Himself. And His love is, like we've heard this morning, it's never ending. The challenge that God gave me, you know, I said, God, I'm really, my heart breaks for this nation, my heart breaks for the community that I'm in. God, I, every morning just, if I look at the people, I just feel that they need you, God. And then God says to me, do you think that if that is how you feel about them, that I feel anything less? God feels that way 1,000 times more. And this morning I want to say to you, God loves you. God has a plan for your life. And God wants to kneel into your life this morning and embrace you as a son, as a daughter, to hear His voice. And that is my desire, that as we put on some music, do we have some music softly in the background, let's allow one another to pray. And then there's some eats and drinks. Do we eat when it's so warm? Okay. Okay. So don't be too fleshly. We've heard now the word. You don't get fleshly. Please pray first and allow God to really this morning speak to one another. I'm going to just pray and then we can turn to one another. Father, we thank you for the wonderful message of the cross. We are so blessed by what it represents. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us more than we can ever even love you. And Jesus, you have a desire to commune with us. It's not that you are withholding anything from us to punish us. You want us to push into a living relationship with you. And this morning we consecrate ourselves to you. And we ask you, Father God, to give us prophetic utterance and that it will become a lifestyle not of just prophesying, but a lifestyle of doing what you want. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's quickly turn to one another and pray.